Brett McLean is in as the new head coach of the Iowa Wild. What does that mean for the Minnesota Wild staff, and why is Brett McLean a good fit? We'll discuss today on Locked On Wild.
You're Locked On Wild. Your daily podcast on the Minnesota Wild. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome in to another episode of Locked On Wild, your daily Minnesota Wild podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and your favorite podcast platforms, including Amazon Music and SiriusXM, so you don't miss out on any of our new episodes throughout the course of the week. On today's episode of Locked On Wild, we talk about Brett McLean being installed as the new Iowa Wild head coach, why that's a good fit, and what it means for the Minnesota Wild coaching staff and their current vacancy. Today's episode of Locked On Wild is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. My name is Seth Topol, your daily Minnesota Wild insider, and as you've heard this week, Brett McLean, former Minnesota Wild assistant coach, has been named the head coach of the Iowa Wild. McLean, a former NHL player, played in over 1,000 games professionally throughout multiple stops, including the NHL throughout his career. Former Iowa Wild assistant, former Minnesota Wild assistant, and now the Iowa Wild head coach. And this is not anything really new for Brett McLean. Michael Russo noting earlier this week in an interview that he did with McLean a few years ago that McLean had some aspirations to be a head coach at some level throughout the NHL or one of the minor league affiliates. And so gets the opportunity to do so now. And it is interesting because we went up till now with the Minnesota Wild not having made any coaching changes, despite there being a pretty good case to have made one or two with how things ended this season compared to last season. But then the decision to not retain Tim Army and his staff after their contracts came up at the end of this current AHL season. The decision to not bring them back led to an opening and led to an opportunity for the Wild to reorganize and allow for McLean to head to Iowa to get an opportunity to try to be a head coach, see if he is a good fit. And it now allows the Minnesota Wild to fill an assistant coach vacancy, as we'll talk about a little bit more later on in the show. But some of the things that are just interesting to point out in McLean's introductory press conference, some of the comments from Bill Guerin about the move, McLean saying that he wants to instill a sense of discipline and wants his players to play with speed and skill, which sounds great. Like that's exactly what you want, because it's no surprise that the Iowa Wild have been a team that is prone to taking penalties over the last few years under the watchful eye of Tim Army. And it's funny too, because I even went to look thinking that you'd find an Iowa Wild team that was near the top of the list, because it seemed like they committed a ton of penalties over the last few years. And so I go and I look, they're not even close to their middle of the pack in penalties compared to some of the other AHL teams. But there were no shortage of players that have racked up over 100 penalty minutes. And so McLean wanting to come in and to foster a team that replicates what the Minnesota Wild have played like over the last couple of years under Dean Evason. And who better to help put that in and to get that type of play going than one of Dean's assistants. So McLean obviously fits the bill. He's got a pedigree throughout this organization, knows what the team wants, knows what the organization wants for the Iowa Wild to do. And I think the thing that was pointed out by Joe Smith in The Athletic that is most interesting about McLean is that he fits the mold of one of those players coaches, and being a younger guy should have the ability to help the AHLers, some of which are making the jump from the ECHL to the AHL, players coming from overseas to play in the AHL, everybody having that goal of getting to the NHL. He will be suited to assist players coming from a variety of different spots, all with the same goal, because he himself went through that same thing as a player and has been in different spots as a coach as well. So right off the top, I like the fit. I think it's a good fit to put a younger head coach with younger players to be able to try to help kind of strengthen what the organization is looking for as they move through the next couple of years, because there's going to be a lot of young players that are going to be expected over the next two seasons to be called up from Iowa and play big roles. So helping get those guys ready to be able to answer the call and to be able to play significant minutes on the NHL roster is a huge part of what is going to make this team successful beyond the final real tight windows of the Zach Parise and Ryan Suter contracts. So it makes all the sense in the world to have an Evason assistant head to Iowa to help kind of bolster that message. Now, on the flip side of that coin, if you're not necessarily a Dean Evason fan, having his overall style now reflected in Iowa may not be super thrilling news, considering that, you know, considering that it leaves you kind of concerned that we're going to see some of the things at the NHL level just leak into the AHL level. So if that is a concern, I can understand that. And you know, I don't know what there is to necessarily do about it, other than just hope that Brett McLean is not Dean Evason, and that he is going to be able to learn from some of the things that he saw on the bench the last couple of seasons, and will have somebody on his staff that is able to more accurately run a power play. If those types of things happen, then this, I think, will be just a fine move for the Iowa Wild to be able to help them kind of get some things going. But, you know, it all comes down to how this organization gets players ready for the next step. And so if Brett McLean is the guy to do it, then this should be a good move for this Minnesota Wild organization. Now, it is interesting as well to look at the potential opening and an intriguing option put out into the written world of the internet by Joe Smith. So we'll discuss some potential candidates to fill and what we need to see from the new Minnesota Wild assistant, whoever that may be, as we continue today's episode of Locked On Wild after this. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel offers great daily promotions on the most safe and secure app there is. And best of all, if you win, you get paid instantly. No waiting around for your winnings. Once you win, you get what you won. There's no better place to bet all of the playoff action than America's number one sports book. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn and get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Continuing today's episode of Locked On Wild, once again, thank you for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. For the everydayers, we will take a look at some potential draft selections for the Minnesota Wild as we start to turn our attention towards the NHL draft, which happens at the end of this month. So we'll start by taking a look at some names to consider at the center position as we navigate through the rest of the offseason here on Locked On Wild. So let's get back to the discussion. We talked about Brett McLean being installed as the new head coach for the Iowa Wild. Leaves a pretty gaping vacancy on the NHL coaching staff. And one other point to pass along here is there's going to be a staff for Brett McLean, obviously. And if you're in the mindset of this situation allowed for Bill Guerin to make changes without having to fire anybody by allowing McLean to take this opportunity, as Joe Smith also wrote in The Athletic, Guerin didn't approach McLean about the opportunity until in May. So obviously they were looking at some potential external candidates. McLean was approached about the opportunity, wasn't sure at first, then decided that it was an exciting opportunity for him. Guerin mentions that there's going to be a lot of responsibilities put on Brett McLean to help cultivate the next wave of players that will help make the Minnesota Wild more of a contender once the Parisian suitor contracts are not an issue anymore. So a lot of responsibility for McLean allows him to get an opportunity to coach for the first time. I wonder if there will be other moves made because McLean was in charge of the power play on the NHL roster. You still have Bob Woods on the staff who was the penalty kill specialist. And so does he stay on or does he end up going to Iowa as well? For somebody who's been around as long as Bob Woods has, and you've got Darby Hendrickson as well, for somebody that's been around as long as those guys have been, feels like a trip to Iowa would be a bit of a demotion. So I would imagine that we see somebody come in to help have a more active role in the power play, to help really cultivate that and to turn that into a competent power play for one. But then does that person become like your second in command and really take more of an active role in everything? I think at a base level, the new Wild assistant needs to show an ability to create a fluid power play. That was, I think, the biggest gripe about this special teams unit is it's pretty stagnant. It is pass heavy when things aren't going well, and it is predictable. The drop pass, every time you are trying to bring the puck up the ice, why did we see this team struggle so mightily? Is because teams figured out, hey, if you just stack at the blue line, you have multiple points of attack to try to fend off whoever is bringing the puck up the ice, usually Kirill Kaprizov, sometimes Marcus Johansson. They did not have a lot of options in terms of getting the puck up the ice. They kind of pigeonholed themselves into one or two different ways to even get the puck into the offensive zone. And so if you are running that unit with the players that that unit has at its arsenal, at its disposal, you have to have way more creativity and way more adaptability to fend off multiple styles of penalty kill enforcement by your opponents. Let's say your opponent decides they're going to stack the blue line. Okay, that's good on them, but then you have to find a way to be able to overcome that. Let's say you're going up against a penalty kill that is more diamond-oriented, tries to kind of shell themselves together in front of their goalie. Okay, you have to find a way to attack that. You can't just go with your style and when it gets beaten say, oh, gee whiz, there's nothing we can do about it tonight. You have to adapt, which is why I think by going with a younger coach at the AHL level that is a little more with it, with the times, is encouraging, with the assumption that the Wilds fill that vacancy on the NHL staff in a similar fashion. Joe Smith pointed out John Hines, former Predators head coach, as a potential fit for an assistant coach or an associate head coach for the Minnesota Wild. I think that would be a good idea because Hines was pretty well regarded by the Nashville Predators during his time there. His firing was a shock, being replaced by former Minnesota Wild center Andrew Brunette. We'll talk about Brunette in a little bit here, but Hines has pedigree to his name and is, I think, well regarded by players, at least from what I've seen. If I'm off base here, then that's entirely possible, but I think Hines would be a good fit, but I think somebody who is a little closer to the age of some of these players that are currently in the league, somebody who's able to be a little more understanding as opposed to this is the style that we're going to play, and if it doesn't work, then we're just not going to be able to get it done here tonight. Another name, and we're going to ask Alex Micheletti about this on Monday, that he has mentioned, and I'm curious to learn more because I'm not super familiar, but everything that I've heard, I'm a fan. A name that Alex Micheletti has brought up is Doug Waite. And so we'll talk to Alex about that on Monday and whether or not Waite would be a good fit to help get the power play on track and be an assistant coach for this Minnesota Wild team. So there are going to be some options thrown around. And, you know, the one that was just installed as the new Nashville Predators head coach, Andrew Brunette, was certainly a popular one in our YouTube comments. And so we'll talk about Brunette to finish the show, and we'll just wrap up some other thoughts on what the Wilds need to look for and kind of where things go from here as we finish today's episode of Locked On Wild after this. Final segment of today's episode of Locked On Wild. Once again, thank you for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. Every dayers, make sure that you tune into tomorrow's episode in which we will take a look at some of the potential center prospects for the Minnesota Wild at their current draft position of 21. So tune in for that on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Wild. Andrew Brunette hired as the new head coach for the Nashville Predators. John Hines' firing came in a little bit of a surprise, but is it really a surprise with Barry Trotz coming in as the new president of hockey operations? He is going to want to install his own guy as head coach, and look at what Brunette has done with the last two teams that he has been a part of. He was with the Florida Panthers when Joel Quenneville was relieved of his duties and suspended for his role in what happened in Chicago. And so Brunette steps in leads that team to the President's Trophy. Obviously, they had a disappointing postseason in which just a horrendously bad power play let the Panthers down in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But a Panthers team that had a phenomenally good season. He goes to the New Jersey Devils. The Devils have their best regular season in franchise history with a ton of really good young players and a ton of offense, an explosive offense, ton of guys scoring goals. They unfortunately end up losing to the Florida Panthers in the postseason. And so then Brunette goes from the Devils to now the Nashville Predators. The Predators, one of the surprise teams down the stretch, as they ended up after they sold off some major pieces. So again, that's not Hines' fault. After they sold off some pieces at the deadline, they end up playing really good hockey down the stretch. But then Trotz decides to go to Andrew Brunette. So Brunette obviously has a good rapport with the players. Now, his off-the-field legal issues, DUI at a golf cart, pretty well publicized over the last couple of months. And so it is kind of an interesting question to me as to why wouldn't a guy like Brunette be more of a potential fit for the Wild? Well, he was thrust into the head coaching position in Florida. He was an assistant with the Devils because the Devils have Lindy Ruff. And so he either is the second in command or he's going for head coaching opportunities. And so hard to pass up if the Wild aren't going to offer a head coaching position. Hard for Brunette to pass up that opportunity with the Nashville Predators, which is where I think John Hines comes into the situation, because you also have to, you got to look at it this way too. Who on the staff, if things don't go according to plan, and apparently Hines and Bill Guerin have some history, if things don't go according to plan after this season is done, is that when we see a coaching change made and who then steps into that role? I think the other interesting thing that I was kind of thinking out loud to myself when Kyle Dubas was announced as the president of hockey ops for the Penguins was really interested to see what his level of endorsement was going to be for Mike Sullivan, because Sullivan, Penguins head coach, Bill Guerin, former Penguins front office executive, would have made a lot of sense had the Wild moved on from Dean Evason, say, a year from now. Would have made some sense to go to a guy like Mike Sullivan to complete that Pittsburgh connection. Alas, I don't think that's going to happen. But it's an interesting game of assistant coach musical chairs that the Wild find themselves in now, and depending on which route they go, it could give us a tell as to what comes next for this team. Now, on the other side of that coin, Bill Guerin, one thing that he has been very good about throughout his tenure is adding experience to just help the overall direction of the franchise. He has a couple of former general managers that are advisors. Ray Shiro, who is rumored to potentially be a candidate for the Penguins general manager job. But Ray Shiro is one of his advisors. And you have, if you go that route with an experienced assistant coach, it could be that guy is in line to step in next, or it could just be, hey, we're trying to add as much experience as we can to the NHL roster. Whichever way they choose, whoever it ends up being, hopefully has a pretty keen eye as to how to inject some life into a lifeless power play, because otherwise, we might be in the exact same spot for a third year in a row, in which, if that's the case, fire everybody. But glad to see, in all seriousness, glad to see Brett McClain get the opportunity down in Iowa. I think he'll be a great fit, and I'm willing to let it play out if he can be a player or a coach that is better equipped to help those Iowa guys get ready for the NHL experience, because we're going to need them over the next couple of seasons. And so if McClain's the guy, it's going to work out swimmingly. If not, well, we'll probably be looking for some new coaches here next season as well. But that will do it for today's episode of Locked On Wild. Again, if this is your first time tuning into Locked On Wild, we thank you for choosing Locked On Wild, and we hope that you stick with us through the rest of the offseason and beyond. If you're one of the everydayers that tunes in every single day of the week, we thank you once again for tuning into today's episode of Locked On Wild, and we'll see you tomorrow. Either way, make sure that you subscribe to Locked On Wild on your favorite podcast platforms. Make sure you check us out on social media as well. Subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss out on any new episodes. We have content all week long, every Monday through Friday, as part of the Locked On Podcast Network.